Hi, and welcome to the Leadership Educator Podcast. I am Lauren Bullock, Assistant Professor of Instruction at Temple University.
And I'm Dan Jenkins. I'm Chair and Associate Professor of Leadership and Organizational Studies at the University of Southern Maine. And in response to our global pandemic, we've decided to add a few episodes to our second season.
Yeah, right. I'm excited. We've spent the last month looking at how our basic needs are met and focusing on helping others. I have myself been asking, you know, my students, how can I support them? What do they need? Ensuring that as they're transitioning home or elsewhere, that they're staying connected and they're staying in touch and they feel open with me and feel open enough to share. I know on my campus, our leadership has specifically asked us to support students in transition. You know, normally I try to balance my teaching philosophy is lends itself to having some challenge, but also some care. But in this time, leadership from the president down to the provost, down to our department chair, you know, everyone's encouraging us to be supportive just because we know that there are students out there who they don't know where they're going to live. They don't know where their next meal is coming from with the mass numbers of unemployment. They don't have a lot of people that they can rely on in terms of that support. So this episode, at least, is dedicated to, you know, talking through Maslow's hierarchy of needs in terms of basic needs all the way up to self-actualization and looking at this pandemic and how we're considering that. So Dan and I today are going to talk about a few examples, right, Dan? We're going to share some good information that
we are. There's nothing better than it. We're all in this together. And so this gives us an opportunity not only to, you know, to a little bit of venting, a little bit of just sharing with each other and reconnecting, you know, with each other as co-hosts and also sharing some things that we've experienced as well as the things that our colleagues and our friends and other members of our network and community of practice have been experiencing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I've spent the last month, like I said, focusing on my basic needs are met. I have food, I have shelter, I have internet. Most importantly, I have coffee, although I have to make sure I go out in the morning and get it because if I don't, it's gone from the supermarket by the time I get there. Most people are panicking about toilet paper and I am worried about my pre-bottled coffee from the supermarket. But because my basic needs are met, it allows me to pivot and be of support to my students, as well as I can then move up and make sure that I'm still meeting the needs of my position. So my job right now is safe. And I've just been focused on how do I understand my teaching style? How do I, you know, what's my philosophy? And have just been invested in transitioning that style, that philosophy to a virtual platform. And I think, you know, in having this conversation, encouraging other people, like once your basic needs are met, how are you also then pivoting kind of out of your privilege and into this space of being able to focus on others and still being able to meet your organization's vision? I know that Dan and I have talked about how we recognize that we're coming from this place and we're fortunate. And I think that there are others there. And because of that privilege, it allows us to then move into a different space and focus on professionals. We also want to recognize too that there are others who may not be there yet, and that's okay. And my thought process is, you know, take care of yourself, take care of what you can before you even think about this. But for those of us who are in this space, leadership educators that, you know, can make that pivot, it's important that we're still continuing to support and do our work as best we can and not, you know, kind of get caught up in what's happening, especially when we have so many students that we work on that are relying on us. Dan, what are your thoughts on that? How are you making that pivot?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the things that I was thinking about as you were sharing that is, you know, while we may have some of our, you know, basic needs met, I was thinking about one of the assignments I'm teaching, Introduction to Leadership class, right now that has moved to a synchronous format. And, you know, mostly traditional age undergraduate students were using, you know, Kamaviz, Lucas McMahon's Exploring Leadership for College Students Who Want to Make a Difference. And one of the key assignments is a community engagement project where they have to take an active role in planning, you know, some type of, you know, service, some type of service learning or civic engagement, not just show up and pick up, you know, garbage on the beach, but actually play a role in planning and facilitating. And that was one of the assignments that I had to scrap. I said, you know, look, I thought maybe there would be some creative ways that some of my students could still engage. But I got to the point, you know, after connecting with our service office of saying, look, y'all, the food banks just need money. If you're able, you know, give a couple bucks to, you know, we've got a huge, you know, Good Shepherd Food Bank and Minico's Food Banks in this part of Maine where we live. And that's what they need right now. You know, they're not even taking donations for food. You know, it's just, they need the money, or if you have some way to be connected with, you know, anything in the health or medical industry, you know, to be able to get back in that way. And so, you know, that's tough when, you know, it was also one of the events that students in the past in that class have engaged around has been our big Husky Day of Service. And I know other universities and colleges all over the country have their own big day of service. You know, when I was at University of South Florida, it was the Gandhi Day of Service, you know, and, but all those events have been, you know, obviously have been canceled. And so, you know, that feeling of being able to give back, I mean, that's something that is huge for leaders and for leadership educators and student affairs professionals. I mean, that's what we do every day. So as we think about our psychological needs, looking back at Maslow's hierarchy, you know, that feeling of accomplishment, those esteem needs that we have. I mean, everybody, we all give back for different reasons. And that's certainly one of the big things that is certainly missing for many individuals in this field.
Yeah, I love that you shared those examples of how you have, in transitioning online and trying to, you know, maintain some sense of normalcy, you've incorporated things that are happening around your classroom into that space. And I love it because I think in leadership, we almost live at the forefront of this. So with leadership development, leadership training, we're trying to, you know, coach people on how they can make an impact and make a difference. And right now, I feel like that's what we need more than anything. I also think that I love that you're digging into your leadership tool bag and relying on, like, you know, Old Faithfuls that have served us well. I think, like, when I teach my communicating leadership class, you know, I say, like, some of this stuff isn't really changing, meaning there are established theories that have been proven, and while they've been, like, built upon and explored a little bit deeper, they're still, like, at its core going to be the same. And so it gives us an opportunity to look at our leadership tools and leadership theories in a new light. The other thing is this presents a beautiful opportunity to make our world more virtual. I mean, we knew it was going to happen anyway because technology isn't going anywhere, but this almost like made a step on the gas and move into that virtual space faster than ever. What are your thoughts on that? How are you, you know, thinking about as you're processing this? Like, what are you thinking about?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it has jumpstarted us. It's turbocharged us into these virtual spaces. You know, I feel, you know, fortunate in some ways that, you know, my department and my background in professional development afforded me lots of opportunities to teach online, both in synchronous spaces and in asynchronous spaces. I know that wasn't the case for everybody. And, you know, we had our emergency podcast episode a couple weeks ago that we put out, and, you know, there continues to be quite a bit of professional development coming out and pockets from different associations. And we're going to share a little bit about that and just a little bit later in the episode. But as we think about some of that is part of our basic needs, you know, our jobs. Are we able to continue to do the things that we're asked to do by our universities, by our organizations, and, you know, and to make sure that we are, you know, essential parts of our own institutions. And so, you know, jumping from that to come at some of those psychological needs and, you know, and still staying, you know, that sense of, again, going back to Maslow's, this belongingness and love needs. You know, we have very close relationships and friendships with the individuals that we work with, and we're no longer able to go to the water cooler and stop by this person's office, or they are having students come by our own offices, or what have you. Or breathe, right? You know, I mean, office hours are, you know, where virtual used to be like, hey, if I need to, I'll have virtual office hours. Now it's like, oh no, it's virtual office hours and that's it. And how you choose to facilitate and navigate that has changed. And so one of the things that is also going to come out in this season, as we're slowly rolling the rest of our season two out a little bit differently than we had once planned, was, you know, we had an opportunity to speak with a bunch of different professionals and volunteers from many of our professional associations within leadership education. And we had some great guests on and talking about all the great things that happened and that they got from their associations and from the conferences. And, you know, wow, I mean, those things are things that we need more than ever right now, is to hear some of those stories and some of those walks down memory lane. I think that, you know, those are going to serve a, you know, somewhat of a different need now than I think that they were going to when we originally recorded them. And so, you know, we have these, we just have this need. We're feeling some grief, you know, as Kessler has written about and others, as we think about, you know, that's what we're feeling right now is this, you know, particularly for the extroverts among us, we're missing that human connection and all its forms.
Yeah, I tell my students all the time, I miss, I tell a lot of jokes in class, and I'm like, you know, these jokes still land in the virtual classroom, but, you know, thinking about them in, missing that, like the vibe and the energy you get in the classroom, really is standing out to me. But also, you know, again, I hope this is temporary and it provides a new challenge and it's pushing us all outside of our comfort zones. And I think we're now at that time where we're, our basic needs are met. So now we're moving on to that next level of Maslow's hierarchy, where we talk about safety and security and thinking about, like, so we obviously have jobs to do, right? And so how can we revisit our mission and through this lens that we'll be engaging primarily through a virtual platform, as well as like the timing has changed, asynchronous versus synchronous options, as well as being overwhelmed by the resources. So now that we're all in this virtual platform, like, you know, everybody's here, everybody is trying to do this. So, you know, thinking about from not just as a faculty member, but also as like a former student affairs professional, like how are we looking at our mission and teaching and engaging with students through this virtual lens? I know the first part is thinking about the obvious, like you still have to, you have to secure, you have to use this as an opportunity to secure your administrative support. So your leadership is still going to, as a director, I'd still be expected to meet our mission and talk about numbers and talk about programs and things like that, just on that basic numerical side of life, not even thinking about the quality of programming and the types of programming and things like that. Just how do I secure and make sure my administration knows I'm still doing my job? Like there's that part of it. And I think the blessing in this is there's so many opportunities because it's uncharted, because this has never happened, you know, in the history of ever. Like on Twitter, they say, you know, I was today years old when we were all today years old when we learned how to move student affairs completely or faculty, like academic affairs completely into this virtual space. I think the blessing is you really get an opportunity to show that creativity. And we've got some colleagues that we're going to talk about later on in this season who can lend some expertise to that area. I also think too, when this started happening, I leaned on change management principles to, you know, to share what I knew and share what I didn't know. So when I was thinking about the last day of class, I spent that class talking to my students about what were their ideas, what did they feel comfortable with, what were they scared of, what situations were they going home to. I had a student who told me, you know, you want me to be in class on Monday, but I don't even know where I'm going to live on Monday. Right. And so it makes you take this step back. And as you're thinking about those situations, just communicating what you do when you don't know. And I think that goes so far in reducing anxiety. Right. And then as you're continuing to think about like revisiting your mission, I look to my colleagues in the field and started to identify virtual resources and events. So Dan, one of the beautiful things about planning this podcast is we've talked about our friends and what they're doing. Right. And so the cool thing is you don't have to do this in isolation. There are plenty of people out there asking the same questions. And so how are you taking advantage of those relationships, taking advantage of those resources, and still continuing to, again, revisit your mission through virtual engagement? Because I think after we get through this new normal, the question we're going to have to ask when we go back to in-person is what stays and what goes in this new space, right? Right, Dan?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think how we and what we consume has changed. You know, this our process for doing our regular day to day, whether it be within our own offices or within some of our more, you know, I guess opportunistic or more privileged professional, you know, professional development opportunities are really being affected. And so, one of the things that I've been asked a lot we've been hosting some drop-in Zoom conversations that stemmed from a webinar that I had the opportunity to facilitate for the International Leadership Association on teaching leadership online. And that was something that came out, I want to say towards the middle to the end of March as a response. And it came out around the same time as our emergency podcast episode did. And one of the questions we kept getting was, how can we make the online leadership development experience feel more physical and personal? And Lauren helped us to unpack that conversation a little bit more, which was like, how do we let go of that intimacy of networking for the opportunity of professional development? I've, you know, been involved in a project with ILA for going on 8 years now called the Leadership Education Academy. And we had been planning to do our fourth iteration of this at the end of July. And we had a conversation earlier this week with our facilitators. Two of them are from outside the United States. And we know that many universities and colleges budgets are frozen. You know, I was joking with a friend yesterday. I said, you know what my limit credit limit is on my T card? It's $1, Bob. And if you get that, hopefully some of our millennials maybe are getting that, but I know that our Gen X is anyone other than that is getting that. And so, you know, we just don't have these different luxuries afforded to us. And so how can we possibly move forward with something that, you know, has a cost and is trying to bring people to, you know, the Metro DC area, and we don't know what people's travel restrictions are like. And what makes the most sense, going back to, you know, revisiting your mission and your vision, you know, we have the same thing with our programs as we do with our classes. What are your learning outcomes? Are you still going to meet those learning outcomes? And with something like the Leadership Education Academy, it's a 3.5-day intensive, you know, I would almost considered in some ways like a graduate seminar. I mean, it's intense. There's 10 facilitators. You're working, you're learning, you're interacting. It's, you know, it's all kinds of different learning demos and different types of experiential activities. And that is not something that we can move to the virtual setting. There's just no way. Now there are other events and other types of things that I think you can still do that. And so, you know, with this cancellation of all these, you know, in-person events, like how do we continue business as usual? Some of the things I've been trying to look at those as opportunities, and I had an and so I guess kind of I was thinking about something that I was invited to, and then I would be remiss if I didn't share that, you know, I had Ira Shaloff, who's author of The Courageous Follower, which is an amazing book that looks at followership. He had planned to come visit us in class in Portland. I want to say on April 1st, and instead he Zoomed. And so my students were excited to have him there, but you know, it was a little bit different. But these are opportunities to bring in some guest speakers. You know, I Zoomed into my co-author Kathy Guthrie's class last week. It was a blast. I had so much fun interacting with her graduate students and her in the higher education program there. And why not? I mean, who else is in your network? I mean, who do you like to have a conversation with? You know, bring them into your class. These are opportunities that, you know, sometimes we think, oh, it's going to be so much to set up trying to Zoom somebody into my class. Well, you know what? Everyone else is already on Zoom. Just do it.
Yeah, it's instant. Like I said, it made you push the gas on things, right? Or even think about opportunities to connect with other people. So you talk about Zooming in for class. Our school is, they launched a virtual program called Power Hour with the Pros. And so they've connected with Temple graduates who from the School of Communications. And they brought in the guy who planned the Eagle Super Bowl parade. So for 30 years, he's been planning massive events. So he planned the Pope's visit to Philadelphia, the Eagle Super Bowl parade, amongst other big events. He's even doing some COVID-19 planning with area universities that have large facilities that can be flipped into like a temporary hospital locations. They had Power Hour with him, and he came in back to back 2 days, and over 100 students attended both of those seminars. And so it offered, like you said, an opportunity to bring someone who in person would attract 200 students, bring that person virtually, and everybody can watch from their living room, which was great. Sorry, I jumped in and got excited there when you started talking about Zooming people in. In the virtual landscape.
Yeah, no, and I think too that, you know, that has, you know, motivated, you know, Lauren and I on this podcast to think about, well, who else can we, you know, that may, you know, normally have been a little bit busy on their speaking circuit, you know, maybe they have some time for us right now.
Yes.
So, you know, just to think outside the box, you know, and, you know, and thinking too, again, we're returning back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, when you think about your own self-fulfillment needs, like, how are we achieving our own full potential? Like, and that includes creative activities. And so, you know, looking at my inbox, you know, today I'm getting, you know, emails from other professional associations and conferences that are trying to think about their contingency plans. And at this point, I don't know what associations are doing with the proposals that were accepted for presentation in this conference season. You know, are we carrying those over? I mean, we'd love to hear from folks if you have, you know, if you have comments about that, and you know, if you want to send us messages at our on our Twitter at our Twitter handles. You know, it's interesting to find out not only how our professional associations handling some of that, but, you know, has anybody experienced, you know, a really, really strong transition to some of the of moving a face-to-face you know, event or conference to a virtual one?
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, I would love that, to hear from others. Like in some early conversations with my colleagues, they've talked about some of the virtual spaces they've set up, asynchronous and synchronous. So I have a colleague who has created a full on platform where she's compiled different resources and shared them, as well as other colleagues who are still figuring that out and trying to make their game plan. I think now that we're moving out of that space of, you know, focusing on basic needs being met and into how can we still, you know, take care of ourselves and also start to take care of our departments, it makes me think about, you know, we're no longer saying it can't be done so much. It's we're asking questions around what can be done and how can we meet our mission, which to me feels more representative and a more positive place to work from. Like you said, like with LEA, I agree. I don't know that that's something that can be replicated online. I've never even attended, but thinking about what I've heard about that experience, you know, pausing that or putting that on hold until we have a better idea of when we'll be able to connect in person makes a lot of sense. But then it makes you think about, like, so with our mission, what else can we do or what other opportunities are out there? And I think that's a beautiful way to look at the next few months. Like, what opportunities are out there? Where can I get information? I always think, like, what can I borrow from other industries and adapt and apply to my world so that I can keep going and keep moving and ultimately, like with my students, they still have to be in class. So it doesn't mean that because we're not in that space, it doesn't have to be valuable. I still ask that question, how can this time or this experience be valuable? And I think that's some of what we all need right now, as much consistency as we possibly can get.
Yeah, agreed. And so it's just being creative with the spaces and places that you have, you know, that you have available to you. You know, as leadership educators, we're, you know, just as much architects of our own space and facilitators of learning and inclusivity as we are any other hat.
Yeah, and I think we'll continue to explore this question this season, in addition to adding in some of our pre-recorded episodes that we had just wrapped up right before the world shut down, or at least our country shut down. So we'll be excited and would love to hear from those that are listening. And that ends our first episode or second episode or 15th, day 59 of quarantine. And we hope to bring you more episodes as well. For those of us that are listening in their car or at home or while they're exercising, we want to thank you as well for joining us. We want to share that you can follow us on Twitter. Dan is at Dr. Leadership with an underscore between Dr. and Leadership. And I am at Mrs. Larjb, MrsLaurjb on social media. Thank you for the great funding that we get from the James M. Cox Jr. Institute for Journalism, Innovation, Management, and Leadership within the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Georgia, facilitated by Dr. Keith Herndon, the William S. Morris Chair in News Strategy and Management.
Yep. And our wonderful theme music was composed, performed, and mixed by Dr. Matthew White, trumpeter, composer, and educator. And he's currently the associate professor of trumpet, coordinator of jazz and commercial music, and director of ensembles at Coastal Carolina University. You can check him out at www.mattwhitejazz.com. Matt, thanks again for sharing your musical genius with our audience.
And finally, thank you to the Association of Leadership Educators. Check out what the ALE has to offer at leadershipeducators.org.
You can find episodes wherever podcasts are available. We also encourage you to rate us 5 stars, as the more you rate us, the easier it is for others to find us.